Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows, Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. and a portion out of God's holy word, of which we wish to read together, can be found in the Song of Solomon and there of chapter 1. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The Song of Solomon, chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black, but comely. O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me, My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. We hope to remember in prayer Emma, the infant daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Jeremy DeCock, who was still in the intensive care neonatal unit in Calgary. Vastai, the infant daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Willard van de Breinhost, who came home this week. Jonah Beekman, who returned home again. And Arrow, the foster child of Geert and Jessica Beekman, who was in the hospital but is home again. Charletta, a daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Tom van de Veen, who had surgery this past week and is home again. And Mr. and Mrs. Mark Boone and Mr. and Mrs. Joshua Mounts, who were blessed with the birth of baby boys. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. O eternal and almighty God, the creator and the upholder of the heavens and of the earth, thou who fulfillest thy counsel here upon the earth, and were on this beautiful Lord's Day, then thou showest unto us and our children that thou art God alone. Where thou makest such a great difference with the past Lord's Day, where thou wast shown a little of thy might and of thy power, in sending the snow and the rain, which has caused many a labor, but also loss among the livestock. But then we may acknowledge thee that thou wast spared each and every one of us. Thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, O Lord. May it please thee by the first time or by renewal, that we may be truly humbled under thy mercies. Oh, then we have seen in the past week that with the storm we need a hiding place, and now we also need a hiding place for our never-dying souls, Lord. Then thou speakest in so many ways, unto us and our children, and thou speakest through thy word, and thou speakest by storms, and thou speakest by thy blessings and by thy mercy and by thy long suffering. Ah, may it be accompanied by the work of thy Holy Spirit, because thy speaking, we cannot remain the same thereunder, either a savor of death unto death, or a savor of life unto life, O Lord. Wilt thou then remember us and our children, and work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit? And then when we consider what we have done, thou doest nothing but good. Thou dealest not according to our sins. If thou had done so in the past week, then we and our children would have not had a place in thy courts. And may it please thee to grant an impression thereof, of all of our sins, of our great guilt. Ah, Lord, we need to be converted, as thou doth convert all thy people. We need to become here in the time state what we are, and that is a lost, a condemnable sinner, that is given to cry after thee, to seek after thee, and to find a hiding place under the precious wings of Emmanuel. Then thou was granted on the past Lord's Day, that the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ may be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then due to the storm, then it was not possible to gather together for an hour of reflection. And to that end, then with thy help, then we hope to do so in this morning hour. And then thou knowest how it has been in the past week in each of our lives, Lord. Then it has pleased thee to grant some guests, and then it is necessary that they may examine their hearts, whether in the first place they have received the wedding garment of thee, and then in the second place, how it has been at the table, oh, how it has been before, how it has been at the king's table, and also how it has been in the past week, ah, Lord. Then thou knowest most perfectly who are thine. And when there were souls, that were caught in the thickets that know it no more, then thou also knowest how it has been in the past week, ah, may they have been given, because it is all given good. May they have been given to cry fervently unto thee, for a token of thy good, for a little instruction, and that the shadows may flee away, and eyes to see. Lord, spare us and our children, that we deceive not our poor souls, and where thou hast begun, wilt thou grant those further leadings, impress it upon all our hearts, the necessity to come to a true saving knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of our sins. Because it is written, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him, O Lord. May it please thee in these solemn days to bless and gladden us with a richer outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon young and old, that there may yet be a great ingathering, where the time is short, O Satan has but a short time. But there is still room in the sheepfold of the good and great shepherd, wilt thou then work in the hearts of young and old. Lord, then we commend unto thee a part of the congregation that in this day, oh, surely then their thoughts shall multiply, where they may gather one more Lord's Day, where they have gathered for different years, and when thou granteth it in this week, then we hope to dedicate the new sanctuary unto thee, that thou may dwell there, Lord. Wilt thou then help and remember thy servant in this day, and may the last Lord's Day in that place, and may it be a special day, and may it be an unforgettable day. Lord, be then a wonder-doing God amongst us and our children. Wilt thou remember the many that cannot gather with us in this day, different ones, different circumstances, on account of old age, infirmity, sickness, weakness, and those that are in the hospital. Lord, then thou was given in this past week, that a little infant child, that the parents were privileged to take their precious little gift home. Wilt thou grant them a humble and a broken heart. Remember the parents with the infant child that is still in the hospital. We may acknowledge thee for all the improvement which thou wast given, and then it is hoped when thou granteth it that they may take their little child to a local hospital. Lord, wilt thou further strengthen them and further remember the little child. Then we may acknowledge thee for a daughter that was in the hospital, and she was privileged and allowed to return to her home. Ah, Lord, thou knowest her difficulties, and then she may commemorate that thou may add another year unto her years. Ah, then we commend her unto thee for body and for soul. A work then lovingly in her heart, and then another, a little brother, a little son was also taken to the hospital of the same family, also privileged to come home. Thou also knowest his difficulties. Lord, remember that family circle. Wilt thou help? And wilt thou strengthen the parents under these trying circumstances? May they be used for the saving of never-dying souls. Another father and mother was called upon to bring their little daughter to the hospital for surgery. Thou wast made all things well. They could take their little daughter home. We commend her further unto thee, and wilt thou help the parents. Ah, Lord, then we may hear of many afflictions. We also commend unto thee all the secret crosses, the trials. It is known unto thee. And, ah, Lord, when thou granteth health and strength to the family circles, may we be given to pause, and may we be given to consider, and who maketh thee to differ, and also to examine how we use our strength, how we use our health, whether only for the things of the world. Ah, may it be given, because our time is short, and that by thy Spirit, that we may be given to seek thee. Lord, remember all under the doctor's care, the sick relatives, the serious sick relatives. We commend them all unto thee. We remember our elderly ones in the care home, bound to their homes, those that may still come up to thy house. O wilt thou remember them when the infirmities are increasing in our Lord? O wilt thou also remember and uphold all the mourning ones? Then thou was granted in the day of yesterday, that thou was blessed two family circles, with the birth of a little son. Then by renewal, then thou was spared, and then thou was given life. Also could have been very different, Lord. How well thou grant those parents, oh, it is not found in our hearts, but may it be that the birth of a little child, that it may be used, that they become so humble that it may be used for their conversion. Ah, Lord, may those little children be born to be born again. May they be children of many prayers. May they be children for thy glory. Wilt thou remember the grandparents with their increased blessings, but also an increased responsibility. And now, Lord, in this morning hour, may our eyes be upon thee. Thou knowest what we stand in need of. Then we humbly beg of thee that thou may open thy precious testimony, that we may be given to declare the wonderful things of the Lord, a black bride, and such a precious Savior. Wilt thou anoint with fresh oil from above? Wilt thou remember all the hears? Ah, may there be empty vessels. May there have come up souls to thy house with a sigh and with a cry. Ah, that the Son of Righteousness, the Son in the realm of nature, may shine so beautiful upon this earth that is cursed because of our sins. And thou wast promised unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ah, Lord, grant then a good, an unforgettable hour in thy house. Wilt thou bind the devil, and that the outgoing of the service may be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the free and the full remission of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 175, the four stanzas. Come all ye people, bless our God, and tell us glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul and life, who never lets our feet be moved. And what follows, 175, the first four stanzas. Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted on the past Lord's Day that by renewal the sacrament of the Lord's Supper may be administered in our midst. And then on the past Lord's Day, then the Lord has spoken also in the realm of nature by renewal, by sending a great snowstorm. And then it was necessary with that snowstorm that we had a place of shelter. Many animals, much livestock in different places, did not have a shelter and they perished. Have you then thought, congregation, about your never dying soul? And to that end, since we could not have an hour of reflection on the past Lord's Day, then in this morning, then we hope to reflect upon what has taken place with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Then we have seen a separation as pleased the King of the Church to grant some guests, but the greater part of the congregation, the confessing members, have remained in their seats. Is there then not much need for much prayer, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? And then, congregation, we are not saying that it was a perfect separation. Oh, there shall come a time when the King shall come upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. Then we shall all see the glorified King and the glorified Judge. And then the King shall send forth his angels, because, congregation, on the great day of judgment, then it shall not be by invitation. Then the invitation shall no longer go out that we may come, but then the angels shall go forth, and then they shall separate the sheep from the goats. And then it shall be a perfect separation, not one wicked, not one worldly among the saints of God, but here it is in part. And then the necessity for the guests to examine whether they had a wedding garment not made of themselves, but that has been given out of free and sovereign grace. And the child of God, they have so much to learn, that if there is only one thread of their own making concerning that wedding garment, then it shall be too short. Then the guests are called to examine how it has been at the table, but also how it has been in the past week. Then it is possible that there are souls, that there have been a few souls that were so caught in the thickets of unbelief, impossibilities, mysterious and impossible ways. What an examples we have in the Bible. The father of the faithful, Abraham, with a promise of a child, and he became older and older. A David, with the anointing oil poured upon his forehead, and he has even confessed that one day he would perish by the hands of Saul. We have the example of a Thomas, It all went so different than he thought. Christ has been crucified, and so in the clutches of unbelief, that he could see it no more. Oh, surely, if there are such souls, then undoubtedly not such an easy week. May you have been given to cry unto the Lord, oh, young and old. May it be impressed upon all our hearts that we need the work of the Spirit in our heart, and that we need to come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God, that he becomes so necessary and so suitable and so precious, because let us remember, then much can take place in our life. There can be many emotions, many feelings, even deep convictions, but our old fathers have stressed the necessity, because otherwise, of course, not from the Lord's side. Ah, when the Lord begins that good work, when he sheds his love abroad in the heart, then he shall never forsake, and he shall never forget that people. But from man's side, the necessity that there may be no rest outside of a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. And now in this morning, let us yet speak a word to our boys and our girls, and to our young people, children, young people. How has it now been in this past week, when you have seen the table of the covenant administered in the midst of the congregation? How have you sat in your bench? Has it been with a prayer and with a little jealousy that you have said, "Ach, Lord, may I now belong to that blessed people of God, that all my sins may be forgiven"? That table declares unto us that the Lord has made a way, that there is a way of deliverance for the chiefest and the greatest of sinners in this morning hour. Then we wish to ask your attention with the Lord's help for our text words, which you can find in the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, the verses 5 and 6 were God's word. And our text reads thus: "I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept." Our text words speak of the church reflecting on the excellent love of Christ, with three thoughts. In the first place, her sorrowful confession. In the second place, her sincere entreaty. And in the third place, her sad negligence. The church reflecting on the excellent love of Christ, her sorrowful confession, because she has confessed, "I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon." In the second place, her sincere entreaty, "Look not upon me, because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me, and thirdly, her sad negligence. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Then we have heard on the past Lord's Day how that the bride or the bride-to-be, that she was brought into the king's chamber, and there she has experienced, and there she has witnessed wonderful things, that she was given to see the beauty of the chamber, but she was also given to see the bridegroom. And now in our text, then she has returned from those chambers. Oh, of course, it was her desire to remain in those chambers. Oh, in the later part of the Song of Solomon, when she may become the bride, then she may remain, but now it was only in part. And now she has returned. And then she has met the daughters of Jerusalem. And then it is clear that there was a special bond and a special love for those daughters of Jerusalem, because her who speaks in our text, she has experienced also to become a daughter of Jerusalem. And of course, our boys and girls can understand it. To become a daughter, then we have to be born. And that is in the moment of regeneration, when the Lord virtue, the finished meritorial work of his dear son in the state of his humiliation, and virtue Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father, then in that moment, then he sheds those precious grace within the heart of love, of faith and hope, and then they become new creatures. Then they receive different longings, they receive different desires. And now those daughters of Jerusalem, oh, then it is clear in the Song of Solomon, because in the life of God's people there are different encampments, and that those daughters of Jerusalem, that they have such a holy jealousy for that people that is led further, for a people that may come into those chambers, to come into the banqueting house, and to experience that his love is better than wine. Then those daughters can be filled with such a jealousy and with many prayers, and then it can even be in their estimation, when the Lord begins to work, that they may look upon a few of God's people so holy that they think they have no sin. But now, then the bride that may come out of those chambers, what a blessing when there may be exercises, and when there may be those close bonds, when it pleases the Lord by his Spirit to grant unto us further led children, that they may receive spiritual daughters and spiritual sons. Think of Nehemiah with a roof. What precious exercises she may have with her daughter-in-law, and a Paul with a Timothy. Then those spiritual children, then they shall be carried upon the wings of prayer, and then there shall be sought for an opportunity to give a little instruction to those daughters, to tell those daughters that for them it is also possible, because those daughters, they shall experience that because of their sin and with all their beloveds, as I read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 8, that with all their beloveds, they still stand as a guilty sinner before the Lord. And now in our text words, then she may be given to declare to those daughters, and oh, how those daughters listen most of the time. Then those daughters do not speak so much. They cry and they beg. It is true in the fifth chapter when that bride, in a way of backsliding, when she has met those daughters on the streets of Jerusalem, then she has even sought the help of those daughters that she may find her beloved again. And then the lips of the daughters have been opened, and they said to that bride, tell us, what is thy beloved more than other beloveds? And then the bride was given to declare that my beloved is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. But now she has come out of those chambers. And then in those chambers, she has seen the beauty of the bridegroom. She has seen the beauty of that chamber. And then when she was given to behold what was in that chamber, then she has received the deep impression of her blackness. Oh, it is in the life of the true child of God, the closer, that they may live with the King, and the further that they may be led, the deeper impression they receive of their blackness. Think of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6, verse 3 and 5, when he was given to behold those cherubims that have cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And then he has confessed, woe unto me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Oh, then the church is given to experience how black they are. Of course, there is a difference where they are in camp. The experience of that blackness, when we consider the daughters of Jerusalem, and that may receive later a knowledge of the bridegroom. Ah, those true daughters of Jerusalem, they are exercised with their sin, with their blackness, and with their debt. And those daughters, are there such daughters in my midst that may have a little hope that you have really become a daughter, but daughters with sin and daughters with a great debt? And with all what you do and what you do not do, because when the Lord works, then there shall be a fleeing and hating of sin. Ah, then sin becomes so bitter because it causes the separation. And then those daughters learn that they have not a penny to pay. But now when they may be further led and they may receive a knowledge that there is a bridegroom so rich and that is able to pay it to the last, and then what a gladness fills their soul. But more is necessary. Ah, when they, to make it simple for our young people, one such a daughter, when she may become engaged to a future bridegroom who was rich, then in her thoughts, then she is picturing it already, that all her debt shall be canceled, that she shall become free, and that the riches of the bridegroom shall become her. Of course, with those true daughters, does not go in the first place about the riches, but it goes about the bridegroom. But now the necessity, people of God, to experience that marriage, because young people, what takes place when we are married? Oh, even for a daughter, how great her debt may be when she may marry a rich bridegroom. Then those debts, they are all swallowed up with the riches of the bridegroom. And then when they may be given to let into those mysteries, oh, And that is what the table of the covenant speaks of what it has cost the great bridegroom, and that those daughters, that bride, that black bride, that she may go free, that the bridegroom had to shed his precious blood, that he had to suffer, that he had to die. Oh, what a love, what an unfathomable love. Oh, what a willingness of that bridegroom. And now maybe young people, children, then maybe you think that our text is a little strange. That after she has been in those chambers where the bridegroom was, and then to return, and then to confess, I am black. And that is now the experience of the church. When that church lives not so close to the Lord, when they are wandering sheep, they can still have an orthodox confession, like in our text, to say, I am black, but then you feel it. 'Tis not so sorrowful, not so many tears. The necessity the church learns that they are so dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit to each time by renewal to experience that godly sorrow. As I read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, that leadeth to a true repentance. Then she says, I am black. And that in comparison to those beautiful chambers. And now the bride, oh, you hear it in our text, with a heart of love, then she is saying to those daughters, oh, daughters, maybe many times you fear that you are too black, that you have sinned too great, oftentimes, maybe even fear that you have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. And then when she has come out of the chamber, then she is given to declare, oh, daughters, because it can be that those daughters, sometimes they idolize some of God's people or office bearers, that they make an idol of them, then they shall be disappointed. But now she says, oh, daughters, I am so black. That is the experience. Of course, a difference in that experience in the condition and in the state. But I am black. And when she says, I am black, then she is not living in great sins. She has not fallen into sins. Like a Noah, a David, Peter, we have the examples in the Bible not to be imitated, but that God's people may not be spared. No, we have heard in the former verses a close life, vehement desires, blessed experience concerning the bridegroom, that his name is as ointment poured forth. Thus then it is clear, oh, it is true, and what a terrible thing it is when God's people fall into sin. What a stumbling block that can be for those daughters when they may begin in that way, and then the devil says, see, now that is now the church. No use to seek the Lord. No, in our text, then it is not that she has fallen into great sin. We read of a tender life, but for the child of God, the more tender that life may be, the more they may experience that blackness. And then she has said, I am black as the tents of Kedar. And Kedar, he was the second son of Ishmael. They were nomads. They were shepherds. They wandered in the wilderness from place to place. of finding pasture for their sheep, and then each place by renewal they have erected their tent many times of goatskins. And then you can understand, boys and girls, that those tents with the wind, with the sandstorms, the elements of weather, that those tents, they have become very dark. They have become very black. And that is now what she uses to describe her condition as the tents of Kedar. And what is she given to experience? Oh, those tents, they were more black on the outside. But she is given to experience on the inside of that tent. Has Christ not said in Matthew 15, verse 19, that out of the heart proceed all those sins, all that wickedness? And that now becomes the wonder for the bride, that for such a black bride, that the bridegroom was willing to come, that he was willing to shed his blood, that he was willing to suffer and die, even for such a black bride. Then for the true bride, the people of God can be many times so cold, can still have a nice confession, orthodox, so sound, and so reformed that we can say nothing against it. But the life is missing. But when she may by renewal come into the king's chamber, when she may experience that thy name is as ointment poured forth, then she experiences more her blackness, thus daughters of Jerusalem, then she is given to say, I am black, but, and that is now the wonder, those buts and the nevertheless in the scripture. When we read that but, is that because she is so black? Is that because she confesses her sin? Is that because she has repented? Is that because she sighs and cries, shall not go without it? We live in a day where that repentance is so missing by the first time, but also by renewal in the life of the children of God. But, that is a but, a free and sovereign grace, a one-sided work. She learns there is nothing in her, but it is only the mercy of the Lord. She learns that there is no merit in her, but now that wonder, oh, what a message for those daughters of Jerusalem. I am black, but thus for those daughters, then there is also hope for those daughters, daughters of Jerusalem. You shall never find any ground in yourself, but it is a one-sided work. Then she is given to declare, but comely as the curtains of Solomon. Then she has went into those chambers, and then she has seen those beautiful curtains, the beauty of those chambers. We would say she was, her eyes, they were dazzled with that sight. And then she has thought, what a wonder for such a black one, but comely as the curtains of Solomon. And how was that now possible for her to be comely? Then she has learned nothing in us, all in him. So man travels to Jerusalem. Then she learns that it is only through that blessed and greater bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, that she may be comely. Oh, has not the prophet said in Isaiah 1, verse 18, have you thought about it last week with the snow, when you saw that dirt all covered with that white snow? Have there then been sighs sent up, Lord? That is what I need. Because the prophet has said in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be as crimson, they shall be white as snow. Oh, then the Lord may see his church and his beloved son, that there is no spot and no blemish. Our second thought, her sincere entreaty, let us first sing. A Psalter 415, the stanzas 5 and 7. All the pathways of Jehovah speaketh truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. And what follows, Psalter 415, 5 and 7. the church reflecting on the excellent love of Christ. Her sorrowful confession, and now secondly, her sincere entreaty. Then we have heard that it was the desire of the bride to extol her bridegroom in his necessity and in his preciousness. Oh, that she was given to declare that there was no comeliness in herself, but that she was only comely in another. And now concerning that blackness, then a distinction must be made, and that is a distinction that the child of God learns not in the beginning, but when it pleases the Lord in the further way, that distinction between justification and sanctification, also concerning the experience of that blackness. Oh, then I hear one given to declare that he was black, and that was the Apostle Paul, that has been led so far into the mysteries of salvation in Romans 7 verse 22. Oh, 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But then he may continue, I thank the Lord Jesus Christ, who giveth the victory. And now she is seen upon those daughters with that confession that they understood so little. Perhaps those daughters were so puzzled, maybe troubled, discouraged, because the daughters of Jerusalem, upon that holy people, not in themselves, and then to hear such a confession can even be in the life of those daughters. When they hear that confession of blackness, of course, too much respect to say anything, because in this chapter, those daughters are quiet. Oh, many times those daughters, they like to listen, to hear how that the Lord converts his people, whether it is still possible for them, and how it is possible for such a black sinner as I am to be reconciled and to be pardoned of all our guilt. Then it seems in our text that she has seen that those daughters, that they were puzzled, that they were troubled, and therefore she has continued to speak, to give a little instruction. Ah, what a wisdom is necessary to guide troubled souls. And then she has said, look not upon me. In our chapter, she is not talking about other people of God. Become such a personal matter. She says, oh, daughters, look not upon me in the way of discouragement, being puzzled. I shall try to give you a little explanation. And now our second point that speaks of a different blackness than of our first point, because it is clear in our second point in the sixth verse when she says, look not upon me because I am black. That is a blackness that is very visible. And then she has explained where that blackness comes from. And then two thoughts. Because the Lord has chosen in people in the furnace of affliction, 10 days of tribulation. But those daughters, they receive such a love for the Lord that with a Moses, rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then she has first said, because the Son hath looked upon me. It is true in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And then the Son also refers to persecution in the life of a temporal believer when that seed is sown on stony ground, it comes up so quickly. And then when the sun shineth, it is scorched and withered away. And then with the application, then Jesus has said, the son of persecution. But when we read in this explanation, then she speaks of 2 points. Because the son hath looked upon me, and my mother's children were angry with me. And then that second point about those mother's children, that especially speaks of persecution. Thus then that first point, not excluding persecution, but then we may speak of the trials and the difficulties in this life. Do we not read of a Jacob that it is written of him that he has labored when he has spoken to Laban, that he has labored in the heat of the day? Think of Jonah the prophet when he has sat under the scorching sun outside of the city of Jerusalem. And what a trials, what a providential trials and difficulties that it pleases the Lord in his love and in his wisdom to send upon the children of God who are under those difficulties. They become so bowed down that, as it were, that they become so black and so sorrowful, and the church learns also under those trials. They are so dependent upon the Lord. Many times, then they learn what a blackness inside. The Lord does not give it, cannot submit, can still speak reformed. Do not dare to say what all lives in this heart, but that they feel that blackness. For the child, the wonder only becomes greater. That for a murmuring and a rebellious people under the smiting providential hand, under his chastisement, when they may be given to see that fatherly hand, then it becomes different. But it can be so hidden. The church learns that without him they can do nothing, that they are so dependent upon the Lord. Maybe a few souls, people of God, are there those in my midst that in this morning that say the sun has shined upon me? Many difficulties can be in many different ways. The family circle on the farm, you can multiply it out. And that people are so bowed down, so black, can be so silent. But now the bride is given to say to the daughters, let it not be a stumbling block. Although it is true, my way is through deep waters, as we read in Psalm 77. But look not upon me that I am black. That is the way that the Lord leads his people. And many a times, of course, for the bride, she had that tender life. How that is missing in our days. Many a times, the life of God's people, and that the Lord has to come with his chastising hand, that with empty sacks, that they may be given to beg and to return to ask. Oh, that even once more for such a one, that has sinned it all away, that by renewal they may come for a moment in those chambers. That is also concerning the Lord's Supper, that the church has to experience between the administration, reflection, and preparation. How many things can take place. But now she has first said the sun has shined upon me, but she has also added, and that even becomes more difficult, then she has said, my mother's children were angry with me. Who are they? I read in Galatians 4 that the mother is called the church. Thus children in the midst of the church, they become angry with that bride. Thus that speaks of persecution. Christ, where has he received the most enmity from? Was it from the Romans or from the Jews? What's your answer, boys and girls? Who were the greatest enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ? The self-righteous Pharisees. When Christ was given to declare that there was only salvation in him, and when he has plainly told them their sins, we read in Matthew 21, verse 45, that they perceived he spake of them, and then they decided he must be put to death. Thus the mother's children, thus that is people in the church, that bride was given to confess those daughters, oh, look not upon me because I am black, 'tis because of persecution. Sometime if we think of people that fight, we must not fight, boys and girls. But if there is a serious fight, then sometime that people, we say they are black and blue. And now the bride says, my mother's children were angry with me. Why were they so angry, congregation? What do you think? Why were those mother's children so angry with her that has been in the chambers? Then those mother's children, they have felt, they have heard that that bride could speak of matters that those children could not speak of. And then those mother's children, that especially refers to a nominal Christendom, that think they have much, but they have never experienced the wonderful works of the Lord. And then when she has been in the chambers, and she is given to declare what she has experienced, then many times those mother's children, they say, oh, it does not have to go so deep. Can be a little easier. We do not have to become so black, but with a few tears, a little emotion, and then we grasp onto the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we do not have to be so needy. We do not have to beg to be brought into those chambers. Then many times those mother's children, they become so angry. And what else? When she has come out of those chambers. Because I read in Acts 4, verse 13, when Peter and John was brought before the council to give an account what they have done, then we read that they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And then when she may come out of those chambers and in her life reflect a godly walk, and that puts the mother's children to shame, because the church can be so world-conformed, and then many times those mother's children, they even become angry when they are lovingly admonished. Congregation, do you now belong to those mother's children? Then you must ask the Lord that you must become a daughter of Jerusalem, and then you shall no longer become angry with her that comes out of the chamber. But then you shall be given to say, oh, if I am all wrong, wilt thou now deal honestly with me? Do not flatter me. Do not lay hands upon me. But tell me how thou hast been led, that I may examine my heart, whether it is in truth or whether I am still deceiving myself. What a persecution there can be in the church when the Lord begins to work. Oh, then many times we think that people is too strict. Is that your thought, young people? What do you think? What do you think about the life of God's people? Is that a difficult life? Is that a hard life? too much spoken of blackness, then let me ask you, how come that there has never been a true child of God, even one that has served the world, that knows what is to be found in the world? We would say that have experimented. You must never do that, young people. It's not a time to experiment. We have a precious soul. But have you now ever heard of a true child of God that they have said, I wish the Lord had never converted me. I wish that the Lord had left me in the midst of the world. Have you ever heard a true child of God tell you, I wish that the Lord had waited to convert me 5 minutes before my death so I could go to heaven? That you have never heard, right, young people and older ones? That shows the preciousness of the service of the Lord. We must close our third thought. Her sad negligence. Then she has confessed, they made me the keepers of the vineyards. Why have those mother's children done that? Because the mother's children, they were not willing to give themselves to sacrifice their goods, their times. And those mother's children still had an impression, that is a blessing, that they were not fit to serve in the vineyard of the Lord. Thus they have made those that have been in the chamber, then it goes the best, to serve in the vineyard of the Lord, that they may be much in the chamber, that they may be much in the presence of the Lord. And now when we speak of vineyards, it is true in the Bible, then it especially refers to the vineyard of the Lord. But we can broaden it out. That is in our family circle. That is where in the providence of the Lord has placed us. And now the confession, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Then we could broaden it out with the family. Wherever the Lord has placed us, also an office in the church, also a danger, soon hope to begin the busy season of instruction for the consistory, Hope congregation, that you do not make it difficult. May there be a bowing under God's word in all simplicity, modesty, that we do our best, that we work together, and it's also a danger for the brothers that they are gone so often for their official duties. And what a fine balance that is, that there is not a neglect of families. The wives and children of office bearers, they have to sacrifice much. Thus may there be a walking according to God's word, that all those difficulties do not arise in the midst of the family circles, that the office bearers, they may have enough time to spend with their family. Simple instruction. But, oh, then she had to confess, busy with the souls of others, but my own vineyard, that is my heart, I have not kept. Those weeds allowed to grow, cherish that sin that does easily beset us, pride, many other sins. For her, the wonder only becomes greater. That great bridegroom whose love, whose willingness may be declared with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the dowry that he was willing to pay for his bride, and for a bride that continues to sin everything away, that has to confess that it is not as it ought to be. Oh, the wonder, the great bridegroom, one that has kept his own vineyard, who convinceth me of sin. Christ has said in John 4, verse 46, but who was active to do the will of his Father, as I read in John 4, verse 34, that his church may be saved. And how she did not stop with that confession. Ah, she realized. And then she has further said, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Let us close with that question. Before our text, in verse 4, then at the end of that verse, it is written, the upright love thee. And then in the beginning of the verse following our text, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. Thus that is in the context of a people that love the Lord. Do you love the Lord, congregation? Let us close with that question. Do you love the Lord? We love someone, we know that. And then it shall be seen in our life. And if we love the Lord, then we shall love His Word, His people, His day, His institution, everything that belongeth to the Lord. Then there shall be times, notwithstanding all our blackness, that we shall say with Peter, Lord, Thou knowest all things, Thou knowest that I love Thee. Let us close with that solemn text of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22. If any man, that's boy, girl, young people, middle-aged and older one, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please Thee to give the application by the work of Thy Holy Spirit. Wilt Thou remember Thy children? Thou knowest where they are encamped. Wilt Thou grant that more and more they may be given to experience the wonder of grace, black, yet comely, and another, Lord. Remember the daughters of Jerusalem. Wilt Thou convert the unconverted? Watch over us on this Sabbath day. Take none away unexpectedly unprepared. May we be given to return to our homes. May we be given to beg of Thee, Lord, do yet a great work amongst us. Bring us together in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 426, the stanzas 7, 9, and 10. What shall I render to Jehovah now for all the riches of His consolation? And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. At the male members' meeting held September 23, the following were elected. For elder, Mr. Paul Niels, Mr. Marina Slingeland, and Mr. Paul Verhoef. For deacon, Mr. Gerard DeLeo and Mr. Marco DeVilda. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory no later than October 7. This coming Wednesday, there will be a dedication service at 1:30 p.m. and an institution service at 7 p.m. in the new church building of Nobleford with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. The collections, there will be one collection at the dedication, one at the institution services this coming Wednesday. In Nobleford, they are for the Nobleford Building Fund, which we heartily commend unto your generosity. And the last bulletin shows that the extra collection for next Sunday, October 13, is for the Nobleford Building Fund. But the consistory has decided to cancel all further collections for the Nobleford Building Fund as they hope to be instituted as a congregation this week. Psalter 426, 7, 9, and 10. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace Amen.